We've been talking about how to reach our full potential as Christians. How do we reach it? How do we reach our full potential? Because I believe God wants us to, right? Some of us will just, I don't want to wander around. I want to be empowered to do all that God has called me to do. So we've been talking about reach. Five things I think that Christians need to reach for in order to reach their full potential. We had an acronym, the R stood for relationships, E evangelism, A accountability, C calling, H the Holy Spirit. And we've been talking a few moments here, a couple of lessons will be on the Holy Spirit here. And we talked about the attributes. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is holy. The Holy Spirit is power. The Holy Spirit is our advantage. And I hope you get that. If you don't get anything out of all of it, that the Holy Spirit is your advantage. You in anything, you in any situation, you with the Holy Spirit in anything, advantage you. Advantage you. I gotta speak in front of a bunch of people. I got this presentation at work. Oh, I have the Holy Spirit. Advantage me. Hey, I got some financial troubles. I gotta work on some things. I gotta make some. Hey, but I have the Holy Spirit. Advantage me. You gotta realize that when you have the Holy Spirit, you have an advantage. But most of us as Christians don't even use our advantage. We don't let the advantage us. We said that He's our helper, that He's constantly praying for us. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. He guides us to truth. He tells us of things to come. The Holy Spirit is what I long for as a pastor. The Holy Spirit is what I long for in this church. The Holy Spirit, I want Him to move. I want Him to do what only He can do. I love that song. Every time we sing that song, man, it breaks me. Do what only You can do. Do what only You can do. I was talking to someone at lunch here a couple of days ago, and I said, I want the fingerprints of God on what we do. I want God to come down. I want this to be a thin place. I want it to be a place where the Lord comes down and He moves. Where between the atmosphere of heaven, the atmosphere of earth, it becomes so close together, it becomes such a thin spot that it feels like the angels are just coming up and down just like they did in Jacob's ladder. That we feel the presence of God, that when we go to work, we're in a thin place, that we feel the presence and the ominousness of the Holy Spirit upon us. That we realize the advantage that we have. That we don't walk aimlessly or forgetting, but we walk with full knowledge and understanding of who we possess inside of us and the power that He gives us. I want His fingerprints. I want the Lord to do what He wants to do. I want Him to say what He wants to say. I was in one conference in Canada, and the preacher was saying, hey, listen, you're speaking to pastors. He goes, you guys don't preach what you want to preach. You can't preach what you want to preach. You preach what the Holy Spirit tells you to preach. Because as a preacher, you don't get the opportunity to go, well, I'd like to talk about that. You don't get that. You have to speak what God wants you to speak. You have to say it the way God wants you to say it. And sometimes we pull back because, well, I don't want to say it like that because it sounds... And God's going, well, how do you want it to sound like? Do you think that I don't love them and care for them? We need to say, we need to do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. I want the fingerprint of God on my life, on the church service, on my family, on everything that I do. So we're going to talk about Him some more. This fingerprint we want on us. I'm going to use lots of scriptures today. I'll go through some quickly, so please don't get bored on it. But how can we get bored when we're looking into diving into the Word of Truth, right? I just want you to know where all this is coming from. We ended with the Holy Spirit tells us things to come. That was point number 8. Point number 9, the Holy Spirit is to be received. You have to receive the Holy Spirit. You have to receive it. Numerous scriptures in John 20, 21 and 22, then Jesus said to them, again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. I'm going to send you, but I'm going to send you with some power to do it. He says, and when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you something to help you, but you have to receive it. You can choose not to receive it. You see, we must choose what we're going to do with the Holy Spirit. God's a gentleman. He's just not going to overwhelm. He's just not going to force you into anything. Everything's a free will deal. He's saying, it's your advantage. I want you to receive it, but it's our choice to receive it or not. It's our choice to walk in it or not, to walk with Him or not. This breath He breathed on him, this pneuma, which means the Spirit. I love it when it talks about breath. Receive. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. I love this word, receive. It's the Greek word, lambano. Everybody say that. Lambano. I love it. It's just like, you know, when the Holy Spirit hits, like, bam. It means to take, to get hold of, to seize. Are we seizing, getting a hold of the Holy Spirit? Do you know what you've gotten a hold of? Emeril Lagasse, I think that's how you say his name, was a famous chef. He did a couple of things.
I'm going to kick it up a little bit. You with bam, 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 bam,
bam. I love that part. I was reading about why he used the word bam all the time, you know, and he said, well, what happened was we were filming six shows at a time. And so after lunch, everybody would fall asleep. And so he'd go bam just to wake them up, you know, and it just kind of stuck with him. But I think the idea when we receive the Holy Spirit, do you understand what you're receiving? It's not like, oh, okay, get a little bit. It's like, bam! We're talking about God Almighty, right? The third person of the Trinity. We're talking about the power of God that in a word creates a whole world. Bam! And it was. Let there be light, and bam! There was light. I'm just saying, we have this Holy Spirit that sometimes we think it's just a lethargic thing. It's not lethargic. You might be, but the Holy Spirit's not. The Holy Spirit is not. He wants to kick it up a notch in your life. You have the Holy Spirit. He's going to kick your life up a notch if you have the Holy Spirit. I was thinking about this breath, though, that Jesus breathed on and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I couldn't help but go back into Genesis where God breathed on man. In Genesis 2:7, it says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. We see this breath that gives us physical presence in the Old Testament, and we see something in the New Testament, this Holy Spirit, this breath, this pneuma. This pneuma in the New Testament, bringing a sense of power. I put this down. God's breath in the Old Testament came into man to make him become physically, to become alive physically, a living being. In the New Testament, God's Holy Spirit's breath comes into man to make him come alive spiritually. A spiritual being. There was something that happened that God wanted us to walk in this Spirit that He gave us so that we would have a power, we'd have an unction, we'd have a capability, we'd have all that's needed to walk and to give glory and honor to our Lord and Savior and make our life powerful. Amen. Not to make money, not to do, but to advance the kingdom of God. He may give you the ability to make money and all that. Great, wonderful. Hallelujah. But that's not what I'm after. I want the Holy Spirit so I can advance the kingdom of God. In Acts 8:14-17. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, They sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Again, receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had not fallen upon them. They'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They'd been baptized, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet. They're Christians, but there's something more here somehow. They know the Lord, but there's something more. In verse 17, and they laid hands on them. Remember I said in our service, we lay hands upon people because that's what the Bible says. We'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. This aspect of laying hands, of stretching out our hand and praying for people is really important in the scriptures, in the Bible. It's our biblical instruction. Here they are. They laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Bam! It came on them. Something powerful changed their life. They already been saved, but something more happened to them. The Spirit has something more for us. The Spirit always has more for you. He always has more for you. Will you receive it? Do you want more? Then ask for more and receive it. But I'll tell you what, if you ask for more of the Holy Spirit in your life, if you ask for God to do more with your life, get ready. Because He's not fooling around. He will do some things in your life. He will put you in situations going, how did I get here? I'm talking, yeah, God put you there because you asked for more. God put you in position. God put you in favor. God's doing things because you're asking for more. He wants to do more with you. Amen. He wants you to reach your full potential. And you can do that with the Holy Spirit enabling you, giving you a sense of power. I love it. You know, you can turn on a hose. You can put a little trickle and have it dribble out, right? Or you could turn it full volume, right? How much do you want coming out of the hose? Or you can replace that hose with a fire hydrant and shoot out a fire hose, right? Look at this here. Look at these. Oh, there's a fire hose going rampant. There's the Holy Spirit and His power. This guy's trying to harness it. It'll knock you down, man. It'll knock you all over the place. I like this other one. Look at this guy over here now. You got another one coming up here. You show that next one. Same type of thing, man. That guy is just going nuts. There's the power of the Holy Spirit, all right? And you're thinking, how do I... You know how you need to submit yourself. You need to submit yourself to the workings of God's Holy Spirit. And then realize you got something powerful in your hands, right? Amen. Thank God for firefighters. Amen. Nobody appreciates them until your house is burning. Do we submit ourselves to this power of the Holy Spirit? There's a lot of power out there the Holy Spirit has. But if you will submit yourself, allow Him to work with you, allow Him to chasten you, allow Him to train you, allow Him to grow you. If we'll submit ourselves, get down on our knees, invite the Spirit to do what the Spirit wants to do. To move like the Spirit wants to move. Do you understand that the Holy Spirit is in all of you and He's ready to do mighty and glorious things, but sometimes we just don't want Him to. We don't want to receive it like that. In Acts 19, 1 through 7, then it happened when Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Remember, this is available to you, but you need to receive it. Did you receive this Holy Spirit when you believe? And they said to him, we've not even so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. You know, there's a lot of people in that category. I didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. I didn't know as a Christian there was a power available. I didn't know there was this Holy Spirit I was to submit to. I didn't know there was this Holy Spirit that was going to empower me. I didn't know this Holy Spirit that had all these attributes that wanted to live inside of me and give me an advantage to be a Christian in the earth today, to change the culture to that of the kingdom of God here on earth. We're supposed to pray that His kingdom come. How is it going to come? We keep thinking, come out of the sky and come down. He's saying, you have to change the culture of this kingdom into His kingdom. And then He said, I'm going to give you a helper. I'm going to give you an enabler. I'm going to give you an intercessor. I'm going to give you this power. But will you receive it? And He said to them, what were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on Him who would come after Him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had what? Laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Bam! Whoa, I didn't even know there was this Holy Spirit. And now, bam! And ladies and gentlemen, I don't think anybody in this room, me included, understands what that really means. Or is walking in the fullness of what that really means. Don't walk without the Holy Spirit for sure. Number 10. The Holy Spirit is intended to fill us. We have to receive Him, and if we receive Him, He will then fill us. I love this. It's an interesting scripture to talk about. Ephesians 5:18, it says, and do not be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but be filled, bam, with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. He's putting don't be drunk with wine, whereas in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. I mean, we've got to be careful here because it looks like drunkenness could lead to dissipation, right? Don't be filled with wine, which is dissipation, drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So we got to be careful here. But the word dissipation is a very interesting Greek word. Asotia is the Greek word. And the word means unsavedness. I thought, what? Profligacy is another definition. Profligacy. Profligacy means reckless extravagance or wastefulness in the use of resources. Are we wasteful with our life that's a resource to God? When a person says, let's get wasted, it's exactly what's happening. Hey, man, I was just wasted the other night. Yeah, exactly. You were in dissipation. Exactly. You were wasted. You were taking your resources and you squandered them. You wasted them. You wasted them. Now, I'm speaking of drunkenness here. Dissipation. Unsavedness. Wasted. Be careful of what spirit we're drinking from, right? Because there is a spirit with alcohol. And so you need to be careful. I cannot speak against anybody drinking because it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that you can't drink. But it does warn us against drunkenness that leads to unsavedness. In some people's theology, I don't even think that can happen, right? This idea, can you be unsaved? I don't know. But it says unsavedness in this definition of what it's talking about. Interesting. He said, instead of being drunk with wine, where you're teetering on this idea of unsavedness, where you're wasting the resource of your life that God has given you. He said, but instead of doing that, be filled with the Spirit. Holy cow. Filled. Pleruo is the Greek word. It means to replete. Replete means to fill up well or supply something. It means to cram. Everybody here knows what that means. To cram. To furnish. To imbue. To influence. To satisfy. This idea of putting, of filling, he doesn't mean a drop. He doesn't mean a few gallons in the tank. He's talking about filled to overflowing. He's talking about cram. You know, when we have an exam, right, and you cram for it, what do? You try to get as much into this container as you possibly can in the allotted amount of time that you have, right? And hopefully it isn't 10 minutes. Oh man, I forgot the test. Shh, better cram. The idea is we're trying to, when I think of cram, I don't think, oh, I'm just throwing some things in there. When I think of cram, I'm thinking of you're putting it there and you're jumping on it and then you're putting some more on and you're just jumping, you're just cramming it in there. Is that how we look at the Holy Spirit? I need more of him. I got a little space over here. I just got to get more of him. I want to cram. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. You know, have you ever gone through a once through salad bar and realized this is only once and I'm going to get my money's worth? Believe me, Pastor Tom and I have done this many times. I have been with Pastor Tom as honestly he has trained me in how to go through. Everybody thinks that Pastor Tom graduated in hotel restaurant administration. He did not. He was an engineer because he engineers that plate. You have to build a wall around it. You build it up and reinforce it. And then you put all of the other stuff in. It's an art, man. I look at him after he gets done. I go, wow. It's a thing of beauty. He is cramming as much as he can. In there. Ever been to a Mongolian barbecue? You don't start with vegetables and that. They put that first, but you walk over there to the meat. Put the meat in first. And you cram it in there. Even though the sign says no cramming. You just say, Lord, forgive me for this little sin. You go back over and they get all those other goodies there. And then you get the noodles. You put the noodles, so many noodles on there. And then you kind of hand it to him and he puts it all on there. And you go, oh, what? And you got some more noodles in your pocket. And you just stick and throw that on there. Because you know it's all gonna come down lower. It'll fit in the bowl. I mean, they tell you if it don't fit in the bowl, then it'll fit there. Just, wait, you didn't hear that from me. Don't do that. Don't. Have you ever gone to the laundromat when it costs money there and so you cram your clothes in there? I did. I used to do that. Just crammed as much as I could in there. You get as much clothes as you possibly can in there for the 50 cents. And then I realized one day I had this spot of soap right here, stuff. And I'm going, what happened there, man? And it wasn't until I realized that I had put so much stuff in there, it had more clothes than the water level could go up to. And all the scum just stayed around that. So don't cram there. My question is, how much of the Holy Spirit do you want? Are you asking God to cram? God, cram it in. I so long for you. I so want your fingerprints in my life. I so want you. Please fill up every nook, every cranny. Fill me to overflow. What's our response? Oh, but if he does that, then it may upset your lifestyle some. Filled with the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, we find that John the Baptist was filled. Elizabeth, his mother, was filled. Zacharias, his father, was filled. Jesus was filled. The 120 in the upper room at Pentecost were filled. Peter was filled. Another large group with Peter and John were filled. Paul was filled. Cornelius, a number of Gentiles were filled. The disciples were filled. Everyone is filled. Acts 2:38 and 39, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, by the way, the Holy Spirit is a gift. And so many people don't open it up. You got to take them out of the box, right? For the promises to you and to your children and to all, to everyone who's afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Peter was full of the Holy Spirit. Remember the main lamb? The lame man. Oh, man. I need a drink of water. Remember the man that was lame from birth? 40 years old, been 40 years sitting at that same gate, the gate beautiful as it comes into the temple. And he's asking for alms. Please give me something for 40 years. He's born this way. Peter and John look at him and say, look at us. We don't have silver. We don't have gold. We don't have anything that you're panning for here. But I have something better that in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the guy rises up and he starts walking. And you know, he creates a stir because, you know, the Sanhedrin, they're getting together and they're going, wait a second. What's going on? I thought we put this Jesus thing to death. Oh, no. You just brought him back to life. He didn't just stay dead. He came back to life. And you know what? And you're not just fighting Jesus now. You're fighting all of the spirit inside of all of the people now who have partaken of the spirit of Jesus Christ. If they would have known that, they should have just left well enough alone. So they're thinking about what are they going to do? And Peter gets up and he preaches and 5,000 people get saved right there. The Sanhedrin is just, like I said, they're just going nuts. So they arrest him. And then now he's arrested in Acts 4:7. And the Sanhedrin asks this question. By what power or by what name have you done this? They're a little bummed. Then Peter, I love what it says here. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. And then he preaches to the Sanhedrin. He just preaches and says, you know the guy you put to death? Bam, 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 bam. They don't like it. But Peter preaches. You see, the Holy Spirit fills us to give us power to speak. Power to articulate. Power to speak. Power to speak. Well, but I don't know what to speak. In Mark 13:11, he gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can... He says the Holy Spirit will give us the words in the hour of need. So they're mad at him. The Sanhedrin is mad at him. The religious rulers of the day are mad at him and tell him, don't preach in the name of Jesus again. We killed that guy. Oh, no, he's alive. And they threatened them. And in Acts 4:29, it says this, now, Lord, look at their threats. These religious leaders are telling us, don't preach about Jesus anymore. Or something worse is going to happen to you. Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Oh, I love it, man. When it got hotter out there, they just prayed more and the Holy Spirit got hotter inside of their lives. You see, the Holy Spirit fills us with boldness to speak, not even just the ability to speak, but then with the emotion of boldness to be able to speak. Saul, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. If you remember, he's going along his way, persecuting the church, and all of a sudden he gets knocked off his high horse and Jesus appears to him. He becomes blind. He goes into the city, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him said, see it again, laying his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus has appeared to you on the road as you came. He sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately as he prayed for him, there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and he was baptized. You see, the Holy Spirit fills us to give us the light to see. And Paul, who was persecuting the church, has a 180 degree turn in his life, and he's now preaching and helping the church grow strong. And he, this man who was persecuting the church, writes 3/4 of the New Testament. Talk about a change. You think there needed to be a power to change that man? And there was a power that changed him. And that man did crazy things for the kingdom of God. He did crazy stuff. He starts doing naughty. Man, he just doesn't care anymore about anything other than advancing the kingdom of God. You see, being filled with the Holy Spirit, the idea is to displace you for him. John got it when he said, I must decrease and he must increase. He was talking about the idea of the Spirit of God in me. I want to be more of a spiritual person than a filled person. I want to be more of a spiritual person endued with power from on high by the Spirit of God than I do want to be my own identity. Does your identity matter more to you than God's in your life? Then your identity has become a God in your life. We're always worried about what people think. What will they say? What will I do if I really act crazy for God? I'm not talking about being and doing stupid things for the sense of stupidness. I'm talking about what is the Holy Spirit saying? Are we bold enough to speak? Speaking to issues, speaking to things, love people, speak the truth with love. Love people so much they go, gosh, something about you. There's just... You say things, there's something about you. You're so loving and caring, but you're strong in what you say, but you just say it so lovingly. His life changed. His life changed. He started doing the crazy. Acts 2:1-4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they were all in one accord with one place, and suddenly there came the sound from heaven as a rushing mighty, this pneuma, this wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and it sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit fills us not just to speak, not to just speak with boldness, but to speak with other tongues. And my question is this, has your day of Pentecost fully come? Are you lacking something in the power of Jesus in your life? Do you need more of the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to lead a Spirit-led life? Do you want more than what you have right now? Do you want to reach for more of the Holy Spirit? Or are you good? I'm good. I'm good. A lot of people say, you want more of God? No, I'm good. I'm good. What does that mean? I think it means I'm complacent. You want more of God in your life? No, I'm complacent. I'm really complacent right here. This is great. I love it right here. You see, I know enough of God to get me into heaven, but I don't want to know any more, or I can't play on earth. I know enough about God to get me into heaven, but I don't want to know more than that, or I'll have to restrict my activities here on earth. That was a tough one for me. I had to make that decision. Is he the Lord of my life or not? Is he just my Savior? I want to go to heaven? Or is he my Lord that says, no, you can't do that no more. No, you can't say that no more. No, you got to move this way now. No, you got to do it like that. And you know, he was so kind and so good. He took time to help me develop into that. He didn't just, bam! And all of a sudden, everything in my life changed. It was like, okay, now we're working at this. Now that. I'm so thankful that he was kind enough to go one at a time as he changed me. And he's still changing me. We're not done. Any of us, we're not done. We're not done till they kick dirt on top of us. Leads me to my next point. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. You can resist him. In Acts 7:51, at his trial, Stephen addressed the Sanhedrin, these religious rulers, saying, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." I don't want to be labeled as a resister of the Holy Spirit. I want to be a receiver, not a resister. The word resist, antipipto. Antipipto is the Greek word, and it means to oppose. To oppose. To oppose the Holy Spirit. The religious leaders did not like anything that was different than what they were used to. If God wanted to move differently, no. It's exactly where they were. God wanted to do something different than what I'm just comfortable with, than what I know, then no, we're not going to do anything more. We're going to only do what I'm comfortable with doing. A lot of Christians have a problem when God starts messing things up because the Holy Spirit starts moving. Do you long for the Holy Spirit to move? Or are you reluctant? Because reluctance is resistance. No, I'm not resistant. I just don't feel comfortable. Therefore, I don't want it. Okay, to not want it is to resist it. No, I'm just not comfortable. Just not comfortable with this. I'm not comfortable with who all God is. I'm not comfortable, so I just don't want it. Okay, that's being resistant. No, I just don't want it. Okay, either way, you're not... We try to make it politely. Don't want it. But I'm not resistant. I'd love to have it, but I don't want it. Okay, I don't know how that works. You might say, "Lord, I'm scared. I'm uncomfortable. But I want you. I want you. I want you more and more in my life." We become resistant to the Holy Spirit by our apathy and ignorance. Our apathy and ignorance. Some people don't want any more of God, don't feel me anymore. They have enough to get to heaven. They're apathetic to the things of God. I got enough. Hey, still playing around everywhere else, so just that's good. We're apathetic. Or we're ignorant. I didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. Now, those guys, they didn't know. So what did they do? Hey, they told him about the Holy Spirit and they received him and bam, changed their life. You see, others remain ignorant because they don't want to be accountable before God. They put their fingers in their ears to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I did that for a while. I know. I walk like this. I don't want to know anymore. I'll have to be accountable for what I know. Instead of, I want to know more so I can do more for His kingdom. I don't want to be ignorant anymore. There used to be an expression, I think there still is, ignorance is no excuse for the law, right? It comes from a Latin phrase that means ignorance of the law, no excuse. Or ignorance of the law excuses no one. We're going, "Lord, I didn't know." Well, dude, you missed out. You missed out on a lot because you didn't want to know. But nobody told me, "Oh, did you listen? Did you dig? Did you take your Christianity seriously and dig it? Dig down, get into the Word? Did you try to take some steps? Did you just want to go to heaven? Or did you want to grow in your faith? Grow in your understanding of who I am. Grow in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. Grow in your understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and what He wants to do in your life. Do you want to grow? God, please grow me. I don't want to change because then I will have to change. I don't want to change because then I would have to change." It sounds ridiculously funny, but it's exactly what we're saying. You see, my job is to tell you there's more of God to have, more of the Holy Spirit to experience, more to learn, more to apply, more to grow. That's why we have Carpenter Series, Bible Foundations, Mayor, Small Group, Sunday and Wednesday Church. Why? So you can grow biblically in your understanding of the Bible. So you can know God better and walk in Him and His truths more. So you can grow in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. So you can walk in more boldness to share your faith. So you can receive more power to walk the Christian walk. My job is to make you uncomfortable, unsatisfied with where you are, so that you want more of God, more of the Holy Spirit. You see, when Jesus mentored those 12, when He mentored them, He constantly challenged them to change. Man, they were constantly being challenged. Oh my gosh, we missed it again. Oh gee, I said it. Okay, they were just constantly challenged to change, so that when Jesus left and He gave them the Holy Spirit, man, all of them died a martyr's death because I'm going to my death for the kingdom of God. They got so radically changed because He didn't go, oh, don't say that. Don't say, oh, you said, get behind thee, Satan. That's bad. Don't call me that. Instead, it was, thanks, Jesus. I didn't realize I was thinking about myself and not the things of the kingdom of God. Thank you for sharing that with me, Lord. I'm going to take just a couple minutes if you don't mind. Number 12. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Ephesians 4, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. The word grieve here, lupeo, means to distress, to be sad. Do you realize you can make the Holy Spirit sad? By what you say, by what you do, don't make Him sad. And lastly, this brings to a close. We are to listen to the Holy Spirit and obey Him. Amen. Revelation 2:7 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. The Holy Spirit was speaking to the seven churches in Revelation. I think He's speaking to the church today as well. Let them hear what the Spirit is saying. My question is, are you hearing what the Spirit's saying in this day, in this hour? Are we listening to God? Are we listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Are we willing to do what He says? When He says, stand up and say something. Don't say it haughtily. Don't say it arrogantly. Say it with kindness and love. But speak the truth. When your friends go in the wrong direction, will you stand in the gap? Will you say something? Will you love somebody? Will you risk? Will you do what the Holy Spirit says? We allow Him to do what only He can do inside of you. My gosh, this takes Christianity from a dull, boring life of do's and don'ts to this plethora of, oh, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, move on me. Holy Spirit, use my hands, use my feet, use my voice. Use my mind. Are we willing to listen? Are we willing to obey? Acts 5, 20, 32. And we are His witnesses to those, to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. Want more of Him? You better obey Him. The word obey means to be persuaded by a ruler, to submit to authority, to conform to advice. The Holy Spirit is speaking. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you every day. The Holy Spirit, when you feel, I wonder if I should, if you would stop and listen, He would speak to you, He'd tell you, maybe not a good idea. when we're, I'm just, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Holy Spirit, how do you want me to not waste my life, but utilize it for the kingdom of God? The Holy Spirit is speaking to you every day. Are you listening? Are you obeying? Let's pray. Father, this message is for me. I just want more of your Spirit. I want more of your fingerprints on my life. I want to obey quicker. I want to listen more. I'd pray for all of us, Lord, that we might receive you more readily. Allow you to fill us to overflowing, cram it in. Lord, we don't want to grieve you. I don't want to make you sad. I want to make you excited that you created a man called Phil Vange and you put him on this earth. And he was walking his own way, but you saved him. And then the Holy Spirit filled him. And then you changed him. And even though he's fallen lots of times, oh God, I want to fulfill the call. Holy Spirit, help us to fulfill our destiny. We love you. Holy Spirit, thank you for being so kind to us as well. So good. So loving. Father, right now we just want to receive you more. We just receive you more now, Lord. More. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Let us be more aware of who we possess. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. God bless you.